Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
Halfway home on a Friday, mercifully halfway home. Looking forward to this weekend. Should be a great one. Going to be out at Pechanga Arena tomorrow night, calling the Seals game, playoffs. Would love to have you out there. SealsLax.com, you can get your tickets. Really excited about that. I'm a little bit concerned about my voice. I've blown it out. I blew it out doing a bit the other day. Then I had the show, the round table.
Still suffering from that?
Still suffering a little bit. I told you, man, I tasted blood when I was screaming. That's hardcore. I don't know how those guys...
Probably get that checked out.
I don't know how those hardcore singers do it.
Every night.
Every single night. On tour and stuff. It doesn't make any sense to me. But no, we'll grind through it. That's what we do. Joining us right now is our pal from Cespedes Family Barbecue, brought to you by our friends at the Grand Ole Barbecue, one of my favorite places in San Diego to eat. It's our pal Jordan Schusterman. Good morning, my friend.
What's up, guys? Good to see
you. Good to see you. How's everything with you?
Things are great, as you can tell. I'm supporting Aniel today.
Oh.
I know the Padres had a tough one, a little tough day in the yard yesterday.
That was a tough one.
We can get into why I was both like not as worried and worried about a game like that.
Yeah, I mean I hate to just do the old common, well, it's Coors Field, you know, and weird things happen. That is true. That being said, you got to win that game up 9-4. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah. My kind of two takeaways from that are, to your point, right. I mean, it's an objective fact. I mean, Coors Field is as goofy as it gets. And that's the thing, is as bad as the Rockies roster can get, you know, weird stuff happens. But that's the thing. You only have so many opportunities to play bad teams.
Yes.
And when you're a team like the Padres, who's clearly good enough to be in the mix, but you need every, you know, when you got other good teams coming to town like Philadelphia, like that's not as easy. It doesn't mean they can't be good teams, but there's only so many opportunities to, in theory, you know, pencil in a series victory. And so that's what made yesterday's, I mean, on top of the fact that obviously you have a lead like that, you should win. That's obvious too. But that's the part that's frustrating, is you only have so many quote unquote gimmies on the schedule. And I know every Major League Baseball game is hard. I respect all the team players on the bad teams as well as the teams, but that's just the reality for a team like the Padres. If you're in the middle, you have to take care of those things. And we saw that again with, I know they haven't had the opportunity to play the Chicago White Sox yet, but that's something that you can see can get teams right in a hurry, right? Minnesota, we were like, oh no, boom. Okay, you rattle off four in a row against the White Sox. And you would hope, even in the Coors Field context, that would be something that the Padres would be able to do as well.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what's been eluding this team and eluding this fan base, that, you know, it's just a lack of consistency. Like, I got a text from a guy I really respect, Jordan, and he said, yeah, they do a lot of things well, just not consistent enough. There's games where they play off their ass defensively. There's games they pitch off their ass. There's games where they hit off their ass. It just doesn't happen consistent enough. Now, Am I insane, though? Because 14 and 14 is kind of the definition of consistent. Is it not? Or is it inconsistent? I mean, pretty consistent. 14 and 14.
That's a funny way to think about it, right? I mean, in theory, right. We're bouncing back and forth between wins and losses. The end result, 500, I guess, is a consistently average. I understand, yeah. I mean, there's definitely some elements and some of the energy around this Padres team that is frighteningly familiar. But I don't know, but still just so many new faces. And I think, too, that I really did like what Schiltz said after the game yesterday. I think him saying, like, listen, like, it's not acceptable to blow a lead like that. But it is true that sometimes things aren't going to work out. Now, that's the kind of thing that when you're 5 or 6 games under, or you're objectively a bad team, and some of the situations we had last year when we're really falling in a hole, then it gets repetitive. But at this point, you've treaded water. You have shown some things that are good. You have had some success with Wandy Peralta, you know, until that. I'm totally in favor of supporting your player there and saying, hey, yeah, like, this guy doesn't suck. Every player is capable of sucking on any given day in the major leagues, and that was a tough look. It's inexcusable in the sense that, yeah, you should be able to hold a lead like that with, you know, that many outs to get, but it happens. And so I think you have to push on, and I know as media we want to be like, oh, my God, blow it up. What were you thinking there? It was so obvious. I like that he defended his players there. And I think that the way they played so far, he's earned the right to take that tone. That could change at some point if they fall a little bit farther back. But I think for now, I liked how that was. Hi, Kyle Glazer. It's nice to see you, my dear friend.
How are you, Jordan?
Look at that.
What a wonderful surprise.
I didn't even have to introduce our pal Kyle Glazer, who joins us in studio. Welcome in, man. And I know you've known Jordan for a long time.
Yeah.
I've been talking a lot. I'm just going to sit back.
Yeah.
You guys have a carrier conversation. What a lovely
shock. It's good to see Kyle. Kyle's someone who's been very kind to us for a long time. Always enjoy seeing him on the road at various MLB events. Always enjoy talking ball with Kyle. So it's good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you, brother. It's always fun. I always see Jake and Jordan. Any major event, the All-Star Game, the World Series, I basically see them like twice a year at the biggest events. And it's always a bummer because I want to talk to them for like an hour or two because we're on the same level of baseball nerddom. But there's a million things happening. You have all the press conferences. You have a million media members. And besides, they're kind of popular. They've got some paparazzi. They've got some groupies. It's hard to have access to them sometimes.
It is. They've gone a little bit big time. We saw them on the backfields at spring training years ago is when we made our introduction to them. And I like to give us a lot of credit, too, for helping boost their profile.
Oh, yeah.
But it's great to have you in.
Yeah.
It's great to have you in, Kyle. Yeah, we're talking Padres baseball, and it hasn't – the one thing I can say is, hey – at least we're not the Astros, or at least we're not the White Sox.
That's the barometer of true terribleness, and the Padres are nowhere near there.
Which is great. That's great. That's something to shoot
even
for.
Even the Cardinals, I would say, are still, and a lot of these teams who are kind of in that middle that you could say from a talent standpoint have disappointed. And I'd say even more than the Padres, like teams like Toronto.
The Dodgers?
The Dodgers.
Right? I would say the Dodgers, sure. That's totally fair, right? And so we just spent half an hour on our podcast we recorded this morning just on Houston, because that is about as stunning as it gets. You know, I felt like we had the similar energy with St. Louis last year when it got really bad, and it was like, oh my gosh, we've never seen this team be bad. You know, we really haven't. And for how good Houston's been over the last decade, that's how it feels. I mean, this is stunning. This is beyond a bad start. This is looking like, at times, an actual bad team. Now, they still have time to claw their way out, but you guys know this is irrelevant for Padres fans. The Astros going to Mexico City this weekend could either be the best or the worst thing that ever happens to them. I mean, in theory, it's like, oh, maybe let's switch it up. You play against the Rockies, you put a bunch of runs, but they need to get outs right now. And they're lucky that it's Blanco and Fromber going Saturday and Sunday, because I would feel very bad if some of their struggling starters would have to pitch down there in Mexico City.
It's so reminiscent, though, because you remember another team that had some superstars. They couldn't really get it going. And then they went down to Mexico City, and then they really got it going. And then they came back and nothing happened. I mean, it's pretty reminiscent of the Padres last year. And you know, they came out with a message, essentially, the Astros, and they said, we're not worried. We heard the same thing last year, all season long. At what point does a team start to worry? There has to be some internal worry.
We spent all season wondering last year, when is a panic button time?
Right, when do you punch it?
I will say, generally speaking, within the baseball community, the players know who they are after about 50 games.
Yeah.
That's the moment where they really know, and they can say all they want to say. I remember covering the 2015 Padres, that perennially underachieving team. They're under 500 in September. Like, you know, if we just win one game a week the rest of the season, you know, we'll still be in it. It's like, you guys haven't done that for 5 months.
That's the thing.
It's not happening. So I think it's something where, look, it's still early, is valid until about the 50-game mark. At that point, look, the players know what they have. The coaches know what they have. They can say all they want. They know in their hearts what their team really is after about 50 games.
Yeah, it's a good point that you make. I do wonder, too, talking to Jordan Schuster, we're joined by Kyle Glazer as well, here on Ben and Woods this morning. You know, you saw the weird off season, right, and how it played out with free agency. They're still sitting out there looking for jobs. We did the roundtable yesterday, and our midday host, Craig Elson, big fan of Brandon Belt, thinks he could help this lineup. I wonder what the trade deadline is going to be like this year. I really do, because there's teams that are out of it right now, and I know there's still a lot of games till the trade deadline, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but that's what we do. I wonder what that's going to look like. I mean, is that going to be more active, less active than it's been before? Does the weird free agent offseason have anything to do with that? Is there any correlation between the two? How much movement? How active will the Padres be? You know, and then depending on where they stand, I'm just interested in kind of the direction that baseball's going. Jordan, could you speak to that?
I mean, I would usually bet on the Padres being active basically no matter what. I mean, even last year, amidst the goofiness, they found ways to make some interesting trades. So I would be shocked if AJ Preller is going to sit out a deadline for basically any reason. Now, to that point, though, I think, you know, you go into any year and you look at the bottom of the standings and say, okay, so those teams are going to be sellers. Who are some players on these kind of average team, you know, bad teams that we could expect to be moved? Again, not to keep harping on it, but the Astros are such a fascinating character in this story. I mean, Alex Bregman, if you don't think you're going to re-sign him, now he's been playing terribly too, so that's a different individual issue. Let's say Alex Bregman turns it on, but the Astros are still in last place in July, and you don't think you're going to re-sign him. I mean, for an Astros farm system that is one of the worst in the league, you have to imagine they would consider flipping it for that. But maybe that also enters the conversation where they go to Bregman and they say, hey, listen, we want to trade you. And he says, no, I do want to stay. And this actually is going to motivate me to sign an extension. I just, you know, flush this season in the toilet and then we run it back next year. So that's really interesting. But then again, you look at the other teams that we know for sure are going to be sellers. I mean, here's off of some news we just got in the last hour. I mean, Miami, in theory, was going to have a lot of pieces to move on the pitching side, and they keep getting hurt. So, you know, Jesus Luzardo, who was kind of in that same bucket as Dylan Cease, and you think, oh, we think the Marlins are still going for it. Okay, now their season goes off the rails, but we think, well, they could still trade Luzardo. They were already considering it. Well, he might be hurt now, too, and now you maybe miss that opportunity. So Miami is definitely a team to watch, though. That they're still a team that has the kind of talent, whether it's on 1 year or multi-year deals, that you could see them kind of swing new deals with the new front office.
And I think your point on Luzardo is an important one. We are seeing starting pitchers drop like flies this year. And so we can talk all we want about, oh, this guy could be a great trade piece in July. At the rate starting pitchers are getting hurt, he might not be around. I mean, it's been insane rate of injuries that we've seen happen. It's really, really hard to go ahead right now and predict who's going to be available just because we don't even know who's going to have a functioning arm. It's been really, it's one thing I can tell you, everyone in the league office is talking about it. Front offices are talking about it. Players are talking about it. This is a real issue for the game. And obviously there are going to be bigger issues beyond just what it means for the trade deadline, but it's something to really, really watch.
Yeah. And the other thing too is, I mean, it's weird. Like the correlations, I play fantasy baseball, starting pitchers, right? Are devalued now because you're not going to spend $45 on a starting pitcher when you don't know. Like I spent a good piece on Jesus Luzardo and he's probably done. Let's be honest. Like
so there's some personal bitterness.
There's some personal bitterness here about Luzardo, but it you see it like it's they're being devalued. And if you're a starting pitcher these days, you're like, I don't want to be devalued. I want to make that Garrett Cole money. I want to make that Max Scherzer money. But you can also kind of see the other side of saying, I don't know if I want to commit 10 years and $300 million to a guy whose arm may fall off and needs, you know, 3 to 4 surgeries in the next 5 years. It's a bad spot that we're in the game.
with no way to predict it. I mean, you mentioned fantasy baseball. I had a conversation this like right before the season with a friend who has had a, he had like a top five pick in his fantasy draft. And he's like, I really want to take Strider. And I was like, I love Spencer Strider. He might be the best pitcher in the world. Don't do it.
Yeah,
like,
don't.
And this was before we had any idea he was getting hurt. I was just like, listen, it's just, it's take the players that are going to play every day. And of course, we've had freaky injuries with position players too. We have Bellinger, Tristan Casas, you know, all kinds of. So, you know, this has just been a very injured April across the league in general. But that's just where we're at with the pitching. And you could apply that to just how we predict and project pitching in general. I mean, think again, back to Houston. Oh my God, look at this bullpen. This is the greatest bullpen we've ever seen. Oh, yep. I'm just kidding. It's actually the worst bullpen in baseball.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how are we supposed to, you know, project that? I don't think all that will sustain, but it's just, it's tough, man. And it makes it more fun and more interesting and more impressive when teams are able to put it together. What Philadelphia has done,
all right.
What Seattle has
done. Be here tonight, man. I mean, we're all panicked about the Phillies coming in. They're due for some bad starts, though. They are. They've had so many good starts in a row.
Hell yeah.
They're due. They're going to come to the house of horrors that is Petco Park, and the rabid fan base is going to be screaming at them. They're a really good team. They're a really, really good team that's coming in here to Petco this weekend.
They're tough to root against, too.
And honestly, they are tough to root against, I know.
They are a fun team with fun players.
Let me say this, though, because, you know, it's going to be Nola Musgrove, Ranger Suarez, Dylan Cease, Taiwan Walker coming back. The Walker Turnbull story, for those who have not followed it, is fascinating. Essentially, Tom Walker, they gave a bunch of money last year. He's injured. They don't trust him at the end of last season. They signed Spencer Turnbull for $2 million, and they're like, oh, he'll patch some innings in the beginning. Spencer Turnbull has the lowest ERA in baseball. So now you have a situation where it's like, okay, well, are we just going to spend Spencer Turnbull to the bullpen? It seems like yes, which is kind of wild. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is Dylan Cease, guys.
So good.
I was the highest on him, you know, going to all the trade discussions. I was like, go get this guy. You want him. And again, he could suck or get hurt tomorrow. But let me tell you, I have quite enjoyed that. And I know the first couple, but that's been awesome to see him in San Diego.
We have too. We've loved him here. Jordan, thank you so much for your time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks as always, my friend.
Good seeing you, dude.
Appreciate you all. Kyle, good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Jordan Schusterman, Cespedes Family Barbecue, brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue here on Ben and Woods. We do it every Friday. Really enjoy talking baseball with those guys. They are awesome. His cohort, Jake, runs a travel ball team in Harlem, which is just the coolest thing. I made a note to make a donation to him. He is helping grow baseball in the inner city. It is so awesome what they do. Wanted to give them a shout out too. I'll post the link on our Twitter too. I'm just so in favor of how much those guys love the game of baseball, yeah, man. I really just cool. love the game.
You'll see him covering a playoff series in Atlanta, yeah, and then like a couple days later, he's coaching Little League.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And by the way, it's authentic. I mean, these two are just genuine, salt of the earth, good guys. Again, I feel very, very fortunate to have gotten to know them. I think I met them for the first time in person at the All-Star Game in Miami. That would have been 2017 now. So it's been, you know, 7 years at this point, and they haven't changed.
Not a bit. As
this was back when they were still just kind of doing their own thing, as their star has risen, going to Fox Sports and now Yahoo and being more prominent. They're still just regular dudes, good guys who love baseball.
So smart.
My favorite memory of Jordan was a few years ago. Remember when minor league reorganization was happening and everyone was wondering what affiliate is going to be in what city? You know, he's in Indiana. He's in the Midwest 2 hours ahead. I'm here on the West Coast. I get a text at 11 p.m. local. Hey, do you have a minute for a call? It's like, sure. At 1:30 in the morning, his time, he just wants to talk to me about, where do you think this affiliate's going? We're piecing together this affiliate puzzle. I mean, again, it's middle of the night there, but that's the level of passion. And I love it because it's on my level too. And there's not that many people who can go that far into the weeds. And again, it's authentic and I love it. And they're great guys.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that can't do it at 1 o'clock in the morning. I just can't. I need my rest. Kyle Glazer joins us in studio. We'll talk some Padres baseball next. Going to be joined by the skipper, Mike Schilt, in about 40 minutes. Excited about that as well. Thanks for being here on a Friday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just like you. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Friday to you. Very excited to have our pal Kyle Glazer in studio with us this morning. Kyle, thanks for making the trek down. I know you're in L.A., the L.A. area. And you, my friend, have an interesting story. We were just talking about it. You left Baseball America. You had written for them for many years and kind of reached the top of your game there. And so what are you doing now? You couldn't stay away from writing about baseball as hard as you tried.
Yeah, so I'm getting my MBA from USC right now, USC Marshall School of Business. I'm more than halfway through the program, and it's been a really, really cool experience. And in the meantime, though, MLB.com, my friend AJ Cassaville reached out to me and asked if I'd be interested in doing some writing for them, hooked me up with the people in charge there. So I'm writing for MLB.com a little bit here from January through June. Then I start a new gig in the boring old corporate world, going into consulting like many MBAs. I'm going to be one of those nameless drones.
I want a consulting job so bad, like more than anything in the world. Radio consultant.
Yeah, so I'm going into media consulting. taking everything I've learned from years in newspapers and radio and television and trying to help companies figure out the puzzle of how to make this a successful business again. We'll see if I'm able to do it or not. But look, I love the game, being in the ballpark, writing about, you know, talking to players, coaches. I mean, the nitty gritty. That's my passion. So getting to write for MLB.com in the interim is nice. And who knows, maybe I'll go into the corporate world, realize... Well, this sucks, and I decide I want to come back and do the fun stuff. We'll find out.
100%, 100%. I mean, that's like my dream is to do this for a few more years. I'm like, I'm a consultant now. I just consult. I fly around and meet with morning shows and help them, and it's a dream of mine. You don't want to do this forever, but listen, I wanted to ask you. I know you got a chance to see one of the guys. I think the organization. And a lot of fans that are in the know are really, really excited about Leodales de Bris. He is
he's Dominican.
Dominican. And he is a 17-year-old shortstop. Yeah. And you got a chance to see his first professional game.
First professional hit. So the Tuesday night game, he went 0-for-4. I was unable to be at that one.
That's good. You didn't want to see that one.
Yeah, I went out Wednesday afternoon and got to see first at-bat, sharp single in the right field, second at-bat, double in the center. And look, he's really, really impressive. I think that when you see some of these kids in low A who are these big signing bonus kids, especially international kids, 17-18, they're long and loose and you see the tools, but they're really raw. That's not him. What really stood out to me watching him is it's really good takes. It's really mature bats. He's working counts. He's spoiling with two strikes, waiting to get a pitch to hit. He's, you know, making the pitch work. He was facing a guy who was a college draftee in his second year in the Cal. He's 17. He was facing a 22-year-old guy, 5 years older than him. And he's having no issue with the at-bat. Wasn't overwhelmed at all. Worked full counts, you know, got a good pitch to hit and didn't miss it. Look, it's a beautiful, smooth, fast left-handed swing. We knew that coming in. But what's more impressive in a lot of ways is the approach, the maturity. Again, just really good takes. You could see he was recognizing pitches out of the hand. He knew what was coming. He was on time. It was all there. He runs the base as well. He's a good athlete. You see it the way he moves. And then defensively, again, at the low Class A level, especially when you're talking about these, you know, 17, 18-year-olds who, look, in the, if he was in the United States, he'd be a high school junior.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times these guys, you know, you see all sorts of, you know, flash and flare, but they don't, you know, convert the routine plays. He does it all. Again, it's really good footwork. It's good reads off the bat, you know, backhand coming in to his left. It's a quick transfer. It's a strong arm. He's only going to get bigger and stronger. So what stands out, first of all, when you see him walk on the diamond, look, he looks the part, right? You see it. It's just the way you want it to look. But there's a million guys in the minor leagues who look the part
100%.
But aren't the part. Right. So it's the important part's the substance. And he has it. It takes about two at-bats and four innings defensively to be like, yeah, I'm in. Like, this is one of those you don't have to think too hard about. It's like, yeah, I'm in.
It's funny you say that, too, because we've had a chance to see Ethan Salas last couple of years at spring training. And he was out there when we were at fantasy camp. And you know what sold me on Ethan Salas was just a drill. I was just watching him do a catching drill. And I'm like, all right, this kid also 7 years old or whatever at the time. Yeah. And they're flipping a ball off the wall and he's picking it out of the air. And I'm like, yeah, probably a lot of guys could do that. Brett Sullivan could probably do that. It doesn't look like that when Brett Sullivan does it. It doesn't look like that. It's different. This dude was like Mr. Miyagi picking flies with chopsticks. Really. I mean, he was like, whoop, whoop, didn't move his head, just picking it off the wall. Boom, boom. And I sat there for like 10 minutes watching this kid do this drill, and I'm like, I cannot believe. Then you watch him take the field, and they're doing defensive drills, and you're watching how he moves, how he throws, the presence that he has, you know, and there's a lot to be excited about, you know, in this organization, the younger levels and the lower levels. And I'm really excited about DeBreeze, man. I think he is going to be great. Problem is, you know, you how many years away? Three years? That's
yeah, I mean, look, the Padres have been very, very aggressive promoting players. Ethan Salas included, who I saw a lot of at Lake Elsinore last year, wrote a big feature on him for us at Baseball America. He was 16 his first 2 days when he was at Elsinore. The youngest position player to play full season ball since Adrian Beltre. That was the last time a 16-year-old was in the Cal League.
Crazy.
So I think with regards to how quick they're going to move him, you probably want to take the conservative route a little bit just because there's a lot less risk in holding a guy back than pushing him.
Sure.
We've seen a lot of guys get pushed. They miss some fundamental developmental steps, including in this organization. We've seen a lot of guys get pushed. It's ultimately hurt their career. So I think with the Padres, one of the smartest things they did was Ethan Salas. They promoted him to Double A last year. And look, I saw a lot of Ethan Salas at Lake Elsinore. He's going to be a fantastic player. He was nowhere near ready for Double A, just developmentally, physically. That's a whole different level of baseball. And that was a mistake. The fact they started him back at High Fort Wayne this year, I thought was the second smartest thing they did this entire offseason. The first was acquiring Dylan Cease.
Yes.
The second smartest thing was starting Ethan Salas back at High A.
I want to talk about the third smartest thing they did, and his name's Jackson Merrill. When you're talking about great ABs, putting it at bats together, I want to talk about him, how he's developed so far. We got a lot more Padres talk coming for you guys. We've got the skipper in about 28 minutes here on Ben and Woods this morning. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Got about an hour and a half left on the program. Still going to be joined by the skipper, Mike Schilt, at 9 a.m. this morning. And joined in studio by our pal Kyle Glazer. We'll get right back to some Padres talk. Talk about all the levels of the San Diego Padres right after a quick check of traffic. Oh, thank you for that extra curdled turf. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It's me. It's Paulie. Ben is in Las Vegas, currently probably on the golf course, playing his ass off, trying to win his money back. Joined in studio by Kyle Glazer, formerly of Baseball America, now a writer for MLB.com. And Kyle, very, very smart baseball man. Thanks for joining us today. This organization, it's interesting. Somebody had tweeted yesterday, Padres are 14-14 today. They were 14-14 at this time last year. What's the difference? And it actually gave me a slight tinge of hope. I did. I said, okay, so we're doing the same with a lot less right now this year. So that made me slightly happy. Your overall kind of read on the San Diego Padres under Mike Schilt, under AJ Preller, kind of where we stand today.
Yeah, I mean, having covered this team a lot this year, being in the clubhouse, talking to players, coaches, first and foremost, you can see it on the field. This year's team has more fight. I mean, that's the biggest thing. They've come back from more deficits already than it feels like they did all of last year. But I just go back to last year. There were times where you felt like this team was sleepwalking. I remember, I think it was mid-May last year, they lost 2-3 at home to the Royals.
It was brutal.
Lost 2-3 at home to the Nationals, getting booed off the field. You could see it. There was no fire. There was no passion. And in the clubhouse, the vibes were just off. It wasn't overly antagonistic, but there was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of sourness. There was a lot of agitation. This year, the team, we're seeing them just, first and foremost, be more composed and mature in late-game situations. The quality of the at-bats are so much better. We saw last year they'd be down. Guys would be trying to play hero ball, swinging from their heels, trying to hit the game-winning homer when all you need to do is move the runner over, keep the line moving. And this year, we're seeing that more and more and more. We saw it in the Cubs comeback. We saw it in the Dodgers comeback. I think that we're just seeing an overall maturity to this team, and it's carried over into the clubhouse. Again, I go back to that Dodgers series. I was there covering for MLB.com, and after the Will Smith comment about Jackson or Jerickson Profar, you know, being not relevant, that night, I thought everyone involved, Schilt, Profar, was very, very mature in the way they responded to that. And then the next night, Profar let his bat do the talking, game-winning double. We talked to him about after. He's like, you know, Will Smith's a great player. He's going to have his opinions. I'm not worried about it. I'm just going to do what's best for my team. And everyone down the line, from Schilt, the manager, Machado, the veteran, Merrill, the rookie, all of them, respond in such a mature way that I'm not sure it would have happened last year.
Way more mature than certain radio hosts in this town. I'll tell you that right now. I was pretty hot.
Our texts that night.
Man,
Smith's a dead man tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%. Every single one to a man, like, look, Will Smith's a great player. He has his opinions. We're not worried about it. We know what we have. And that, to me, is a sign of a secure team.
I saw that, too, yesterday. I heard that, too, yesterday when we interviewed Jake Cronenworth, and he, you know, spoke openly about having a manager that has their backs. And listen, I've seen Eric Hosmer's podcast. He's gone so far as to not even mention Jace Tingler by name, right? He just calls him the manager.
The manager at the time.
The manager at the time, while also mentioning all the coaches by name, right? It's interesting. So the maturity of this team, the fact that a skipper will go and give kind of a bitchy post-game interview, you know, to media and say, hey, man, like, I'm going to ride with this guy. I believe in these guys. They're winners. I liked it, man. I did. And I had friends that were like, oh, great, more eyewash from the skipper. I there was nothing about that I didn't like yesterday.
I think,
other than the result.
Again, it was an ugly loss. Look, it's going to happen over the course of the season, especially in a place like Colorado. And you have to remember that as bad as the Rockies are, they're a different team at home. First and foremost, a 5-run lead in Coors Field can disappear in an instant.
Yeah, it did.
The Padres have benefited from that. They've been on the other side of this,
they
too.
Have.
But the other thing to keep in mind is I went back and looked. The Rockies were 15 games better at home than on the road last year.
Yeah.
14 games better at home than on the road the year before. 22 games better at home than on the road. The Rockies are terrible, but at home, they are a competitive team that's never out of a game. So, honestly, if you think about, hey, you went on the road and took 2 out of 4 from a... if you think of the Rockies as a different team at home, which they are,
it's a good point.
You take the 30,000-foot view. Okay, hey, you get out of there. It's tough to play at the elevation, but I think with this team, just going back to it, again, as bad as that loss was, Mike Schilt's response was good, and he has so much credibility as a baseball man. Mike Schilt worked his way from the bottom. He was a high school coach, then he was a college coach, then he was running a training facility, then he was in rookie ball in Johnson City, which, if you've ever been to Johnson City, Tennessee, there's nothing there. That's the dregs of the Appalachian League. I mean, worked his way up, you know, A-ball, double-A, Springfield, triple-A. He's been a bench coach. He's been a first base coach. He understands the game on so many different levels from so many different perspectives. He understands players. Look, he handled superstars in St. Louis with Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt. He handled all these stud players in the Cardinals organization coming up as rookies. He knows what players need. He understands what makes them tick. And I think we're seeing that over and over already this season. And it's really been a nice, you know, boost for the Padres.
And a much better brand of baseball. I was a big Bob Melvin fan. Still am. Still like Bob Melvin.
Yeah.
But every day with Mike Schilt at the helm, I do get a little more excited. He's better with the media. He's better. He's more understanding of. And I know yesterday was, you know, he was agitated, as he said. But it does seem like he's got a really good grip on his players. His players like him. Crony said they like playing for him.
Yeah.
They are all pulling for each other. I also tend to think that they were pretty morbidly embarrassed by last year.
Yeah,
it was an embarrassment. They were a bit of the. laughingstock of baseball, you know, with all the expectations and that just never materialized. So I know Manny grabbed the mic in spring training and you know, basically said, that's on us and we don't want that to happen again. And they've been playing hard. Now, they've done some dumb stuff. They've run into outs. They booted some balls. Those errors have been massively fatal to us this year. But I'm fairly encouraged, man. I am.
And I think it's important to note expectations for this team. Now, as I was driving to meet you in the studio, I was hearing you talk about some of the people who are saying, oh, this team is done, you know, after last night's loss. This is an 83-84 win team on talent. The fact they're 14-14 right now, this is kind of where their true talent level is. There are some starting pitching depth issues. There are some, you know, back third of the lineup issues, though those guys are hitting now. Give Eggy Rosario, et cetera, credit. But if this team wins 86, 87 games, that's a huge win. That means they have overperformed, and it's going to be because of good at-bats in key moments, you know, maybe cleaning up some of these fundamental errors. But some of the issues we're seeing, again, yesterday was a disaster. Wild pitch, pass ball, lots of walks from the relievers. You'd never want that. But I think people coming in thinking, oh, this is a 95-win team underperforming. No. This is a 500-ish team that, with a couple breaks, and if they play hard and come through in some big moments, maybe they get to 85, 86, 87, win that last wild card spot. And that's where Mike Schilt coming in. You know, last year's problems were not because of Bob Melvin. But, look, anyone with two eyes and two ears could see it. By the end of the year,
they were over it.
They were over it. It was not working. They were kind of just, even though they finished the year strong, it was clear early on that just the passion wasn't there. The positive vibes weren't there. And, you know, now there's a change. Those positive vibes are there now. It's a long season. We still have to see if they'll be there in August and September. But Mike Schilt represents that. You're seeing it from the players. And overall, I think you have to be happy with where this team is, both in terms of on-field results and just how they're speaking, how they're acting, how they're playing.
Tempering expectations is a hard thing to do. It is. It, no matter what, whether it's for your children, whether it's for your career, whatever it is, it's hard to do. And no one wants to step back. And I don't think you could walk around that clubhouse and say, do you guys think you're a 500 team? They'd all tell you to a man, we're better than that. We're better than our record shows. And I respectfully kind of disagree. I kind of, you are what your record says you are right now. I do feel that. But I also know that they believe in each other. Honestly, man, that's kind of enough for me as a fan. I've said it like a mantra. Win or lose, we just want you to play hard, respect the city that you play in, respect the fans that you play for, that continuously fill that ballpark every night. You're going to lose games. You don't want to choke games away like last night. You're going to lose 80-some-odd games this year, probably. It's the way you go about it. And so far, so good. Really.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, you think about that Dodgers series, coming back from deficits in all three games, winning two of three. You know, even the Blue Jays series, the first two games, they lose. They're not particularly in it. They come back out on Sunday, and they, you know, put together a nice game plan against a good pitcher, Chris Bassett.
Take care of business.
They win the series finale. They have a happy flight to Colorado, and that's what's going to be really key for this upcoming homestand. Look, it's not getting any easier.
Nope.
Philly's coming into town. You have Aaron Nola tonight. Ranger Suarez, who is undefeated, and in my opinion, might be the most underrated pitcher in baseball. This is a legit, solid number two, number three type who's pitched in the World Series and done well in the postseason, and people don't seem to appreciate him. This is going to be a challenging series. But this is where your money's made a little bit. Hey, you got to bounce back after a tough loss, a tough opponent, but it's your home park. You know it's going to be sold out at Petco Park this weekend. I'm going to be really curious to see how they perform against one of the best teams in the NL in a marquee series coming off a tough loss. That's going to be the true measure of this team's toughness.
Yeah, and it's funny, man. There's just these stepping stone after stepping stone for a baseball team, baseball fan, baseball players throughout the season. All right, split, fine. How do you respond today? I'm interested to see how Jackson Merrill is doing. We're going to ask the skipper, Mike Schilt, in about 10 minutes. I'm going to ask him, you know, about the health of Jackson Merrill. He's played a ton, and you've already seen the trust grow in Jackson Merrill from week one when it was, oh, we got a lefty? Let's get Sugar out there. No, it's like Jackson's our center fielder. He's going to play. He's going to hit lefties. He's hit lefties well. He's big hits against the Dodgers. He's been really, really good. I love watching him play baseball, and I don't long for anything more from him. And I know the impatience of fans are like, man, it'd be nice if he could, you know, count on him for a three-run homer. No. Let him be him and mature.
That's some, Fernando's job.
Some power will come for him. You don't swing that well with that good a bat to ball and not get some power in your career.
And the strength of his game is his contact. Let's be clear. The best version of Jackson Merrill long-term is a guy who's hitting 300 with 20 homers.
Oh, I was going to say like 12 to 15.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, this is not a 30-homer dude.
No.
This is a contact first, and it might be 280 with 15 homers and great defense, and that's more than fine.
Absolutely.
That's his game. You don't want him to start swinging for the fences and lose what made him good in the first place. We've seen that happen to way too many young hitters.
So many players.
Focus, again, left on left, Alex Vesia taking a 0-2 fastball, boom, poking it the other way. And I saw him do the same thing
Incredible.
In Lake Elsinore against lefties when he was 18, 19, fresh out of the draft. And that's who he is. That's more than enough. That's a great AB. Let him be that. Don't try to force him into being what he's not. If he starts swinging for the fences, that's a bad thing. We don't want that from Jackson
Merrill. We do not want that from Jackson Merrill. Nice to see the Pods get, hit a couple of bombs yesterday, certainly, but for the most part,
bizarre to go three games without.
It was, especially in Coors Field. And now, you need some reinforcements, though, on this team. We got about 5 minutes left in here. What would you like to see the Padres do soon? Because there's guys that can help this team right now. We talked about on the roundtable yesterday. We are essentially, I think, still a bat away, an arm away, a right-hander in the bullpen. Like another Eniel De Los Santos type would be nice. You got four lefties down in the bullpen right now, none of which are your closer. So how are you? What would you do if you were kind of in charge right now of making some moves?
I think the most important thing is they need to reinforce this pitching staff. When you look at over the course of 162, we don't know how Michael King is going to hold up over a full season.
Right.
He has never made more than 9 starts in a season. He had those 8 great starts to end the year last year. It's a big difference what you look like start 8 versus start 16 versus start 24. So that's a question mark. Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove both finished last year on the IL. They both have some injury histories. Again, Yu's on the IL right now. Hopefully nothing major, but you're counting on those guys staying healthy. And Matt Waldron's really, really good. I like him for what he is, which is a good number 4 or 5 starter. We know Dylan Cease is a stud, but we see every year having 5 quality starting pitchers is not enough to get you through a major league season.
Never
and
is.
As much as Robbie Snelling is a good young pitcher in Double A, Adam Mazur is a good young pitcher in Double A, expecting these guys ready to come up in the middle of a pennant race and perform from day one, if it happens, great. I don't think you can expect that. So going out and getting another, it doesn't have to be an ace arm, but just, someone, a solid number 4, number 5 type to give you some insurance, that would be key. And at the end of the day, as much as this offense has been overall performing well, if you're honest with yourself and stack this lineup up next to the Braves lineup, the Dodgers lineup.
It's not close.
It's not close. It's not
close.
In order to get to World Series contender status, honestly, you probably need 2 more bats to kind of lengthen the bottom of this lineup. But number 1 would be lengthen the rotation. We've seen starting rotation issues sink this team before. I go back to 2021 when
awful.
You're pulling Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta off the scrap heap.
That was the worst.
That was unwatchable.
Yeah.
So, again, I think that's priority number 1.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree fully. And I know, there's been some chat about some guys that are throwing well in the minor leagues right now that could potentially help Estrada. Look nasty, man. He's a lot of strikeouts.
He's got stuff.
He's got stuff.
Palm Desert Kid.
Yeah, Palm Desert Kid. I'm interested to see, and I'm always interested to see what moves they make to help fortify this team going forward. But, it is hard to temper expectations as a fan. It is. I will be the first to tell you. I expect more from the team. I just do. And you look around and you see Xander, and hopefully Manny's back tonight. Xander, Manny, Tatis, Profar's played out of his mind this year. It's fun to see Cronenworth, Ha-Sung Kim. I mean, you feel like you're better than a 14-14 team, but that's what you are. That's what you are right now. You're a 14-14 team. We're going to ask the skipper about all of this coming up next.
We've hammered the point all month about Xander in the leadoff spot. I liked what I saw for the most part, at least this week
in Colorado. Sure.
I really hope if he's turning a corner, that could be huge.
That home run he hit against the Blue Jays in the Sunday finale, that
huge
was
for
a
him.
Good sign. You're starting to see him come around. Ha-Sung Kim's starting to come around.
Yep.
So we're starting to see it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's funny because Tatis is now, he's fine. I mean, it's Fernando Tatis Jr. I don't worry about him. But he's, he missed some hangers in Colorado that I know he saw in his sleep. I know he saw some of these hangers that he missed or took. There was a 3-0 hanger yesterday. I'm like, Buddy, you're like, you're the, no one's going to be mad at you for swinging 3-0, especially on that pitch. Just hammer it. He needs to get back to, you know, that aggressiveness that he had in the early part of the season. I know it's still the early part of the season, but he needs to be Fernando Tatis Jr. and just be the wild stallion that he is.
You know, I think with him, we saw him start to come back last year. We've seen flashes this year. I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him.
I'm not either. He's not a guy I worry about. All right, coming up next, going to be joined by the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schell. I'm going to see if he rips me a new one.
I'm actually hoping for it.
Stay tuned. Yeah, we'll see how I respond yesterday. Today. See how I respond today. Unlike Dennis Lynn, our buddy, yesterday. The stare down was epic. Now we're on radio, so it's going to be much easier.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Got about an hour and a half left on the program. Still going to be joined by the skipper, Mike Schilt, at 9 a.m. this morning. And joined in studio by our pal Kyle Glazer. We'll get right back to some Padres talk. Talk about all the levels of the San Diego Padres right after a quick check of traffic. Oh, thank you for that extra curdled turf. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It's me. It's Paulie. Ben is in Las Vegas, currently probably on the golf course, playing his ass off, trying to win his money back. Joined in studio by Kyle Glazer, formerly of Baseball America, now a writer for MLB.com. And Kyle, very, very smart baseball man. Thanks for joining us today. This organization, it's interesting. Somebody had tweeted yesterday, Padres are 14-14 today. They were 14-14 at this time last year. What's the difference? And it actually gave me a slight tinge of hope. I did. I said, okay, so we're doing the same with a lot less right now this year. So that made me slightly happy. Your overall kind of read on the San Diego Padres under Mike Schilt, under AJ Preller, kind of where we stand today.
Yeah, I mean, having covered this team a lot this year, being in the clubhouse, talking to players, coaches, first and foremost, you can see it on the field. This year's team has more fight. I mean, that's the biggest thing. They've come back from more deficits already than it feels like they did all of last year. But I just go back to last year. There were times where you felt like this team was sleepwalking. I remember, I think it was mid-May last year, they lost 2-3 at home to the Royals.
It was brutal.
Lost 2-3 at home to the Nationals, getting booed off the field. You could see it. There was no fire. There was no passion. And in the clubhouse, the vibes were just off. It wasn't overly antagonistic, but there was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of sourness. There was a lot of agitation. This year, the team, we're we're seeing them just, first and foremost, be more composed and mature in late-game situations. The quality of the at-bats are so much better. We saw last year they'd be down. Guys would be trying to play hero ball, swinging from their heels, trying to hit the game-winning homer when all you need to do is move the runner over, keep the line moving. And this year, we're seeing that more and more and more. We saw it in the Cubs comeback. We saw it in the Dodgers comeback. I think that we're just seeing an overall maturity to this team, and it's carried over into the clubhouse. Again, I go back to that Dodgers series. I was there covering for MLB.com, and after the Will Smith comment about Jackson or Jerickson Profar, you know, being not relevant, that night, I thought everyone involved, Schilt, Profar, was very, very mature in the way they responded to that. And then the next night, Profar let his bat do the talking, game-winning double. We talked to him about it after. He's like, you know, Will Smith's a great player. He's going to have his opinions. I'm not worried about it. I'm just going to do what's best for my team. And everyone down the line, from Schilt, the manager, Machado, the veteran, Merrill, the rookie, all of them, respond in such a mature way that I'm not sure it would have happened last year.
Way more mature than certain radio hosts in this town. I'll tell you that right now. I was pretty hot.
Our texts that night.
Man,
Smith's a dead man tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%. Every single one to a man, like, look, Will Smith's a great player. He has his opinions. We're not worried about it. We know what we have. And that, to me, is a sign of a secure team.
I saw that, too, yesterday, or I heard that, too, yesterday when we interviewed Jake Cronenworth, and he, you know, spoke openly about having a manager that has their backs. And listen, I've seen Eric Hosmer's podcast. He's gone so far as to not even mention Jace Tingler by name, right? He just calls him the manager.
The manager at the time.
The manager at the time, while also mentioning all the coaches by name, right? It's interesting. So the maturity of this team, the fact that a skipper will go and give kind of a bitchy post-game interview, you know, to media and say, hey, man, like, I'm going to ride with this guy. I believe in these guys. They're winners. I liked it, man. I did. And I had friends that were like, oh, great, more eyewash from the skipper. There was nothing about that I didn't like yesterday.
I think,
other than the result.
Again, it was an ugly loss. Look, it's going to happen over the course of the season, especially in a place like Colorado. And you have to remember that as bad as the Rockies are, they're a different team at home. First and foremost, a 5-run lead in Coors Field can disappear in an instant.
Yeah, it did.
The Padres have benefited from that. They've been on the other side of this,
too.
But the other thing to keep in mind is I went back and looked. The Rockies were 15 games better at home than on the road last year.
Yeah.
14 games better at home than on the road the year before. 22 games better at home than on the road. The Rockies are terrible. But at home, they are a competitive team that's never out of a game. So, honestly, if you think about, hey, you went on the road and took 2 out of 4 from me. If you think of the Rockies as a different team at home, which they are,
it's a good point.
You take the 30,000-foot view. Okay, hey, you get out of there. It's tough to play at the elevation, but I think with this team, just going back to it, as bad as that loss was, Mike Schilt's response was good, and he has so much credibility as a baseball man. Mike Schilt worked his way from the bottom. He was a high school coach, then he was a college coach, then he was running a training facility, then he was in rookie ball in Johnson City, which, if you've ever been to Johnson City, Tennessee, there's nothing there. That's the dregs of the Appalachian League. I mean, worked his way up, you know, A-ball, double-A, Springfield, triple-A. He's been a bench coach. He's been a first base coach. He understands the game on so many different levels from so many different perspectives. He understands players. Look, he handled superstars in St. Louis with Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt. He handled all these stud players in the Cardinals organization coming up as rookies. He knows what players need. He understands what makes them tick. And I think we're seeing that over and over already this season. And it's really been a nice, you know, boost for the Padres.
And a much better brand of baseball. I was a big Bob Melvin fan. Still am. Still like Bob Melvin.
Yeah.
But every day with Mike Schilt at the helm, I do get a little more excited. He's better with the media. He's better. He's more understanding of. And I know yesterday was, you know, he was agitated, as he said. But it does seem like he's got a really good grip on his players. His players like him. Crony said they like playing for him.
Yeah.
They are all pulling for each other. I also tend to think that they were pretty morbidly embarrassed by last year.
Yeah,
it was an They were a bit of the laughing stock of baseball, you know, with all the expectations and that just never materialized. So I know Manny grabbed the mic in spring training and you know, basically said, that's on us and we don't want that to happen again. And they've been playing hard. Now they've done some dumb stuff. They've run into outs. They've booted some balls. Those errors have been massively fatal to us this year. But I'm fairly encouraged, man. I am.
And I think it's important to note expectations for this team. You know, as I was driving to meet you in the studio, I was hearing you talk about some of the people who are saying, oh, this team is done, you know, after last night's loss. This isn't 83, 84 win team on talent. The fact they're 14 and 14 right now, this is kind of where their true talent level
sure.
is. There are some starting pitching depth issues. There are some, you know, back third of the lineup issues, though those guys are hitting now. Give Eggy Rosario, et cetera, credit. But if this team wins 86, 87 games, that's a huge win. That means they have overperformed, and it's going to be because of good at-bats in key moments, you know, maybe cleaning up some of these fundamental errors. But some of the issues we're seeing, again, yesterday was a disaster. Wild pitch, pass ball, lots of walks from the relievers. You'd never want that. But I think people coming and thinking, oh, this is a 95-win team underperforming. No. This is a 500-ish team that, with a couple breaks, and if they play hard and come through in some big moments, maybe they get to 85, 86, 87, win that last wild card spot. And that's where Mike Schilt coming in. You know, last year's problems were not because of Bob Melvin, but look, anyone with two eyes and two ears could see it. By the end of the year,
they were over it.
It was not working. They were kind of just, even though they finished the year strong, it was clear early on that just the passion wasn't there. The positive vibes weren't there. And, you know, now there's a change. Those positive vibes are there now. It's a long season. We still have to see if they'll be there in August and September. But Mike Schilt represents that. You're seeing it from the players. And overall, I think you have to be happy with where this team is, both in terms of on-field results and just how they're speaking, how they're acting, how they're playing.
Tempering expectations is a hard thing to do. It is. It, no matter what, whether it's for your children, whether it's for your career, whatever it is, it's hard to do. And no one wants to step back. And I don't think you could walk around that clubhouse and say, do you guys think you're a 500 team? They'd all tell you to a man, we're better than that. We're better than our record shows. And I respectfully kind of disagree. You are what your record says you are right now. I do feel that. But I also know that they believe in each other. Honestly, man, that's kind of enough for me as a fan. I've said it like a mantra. Win or lose, we just want you to play hard, respect the city that you play in, respect the fans that you play for, that continuously fill that ballpark every night. You're going to lose games. You don't want to choke games away like last night. You're going to lose 80-some-odd games this year, probably. It's the way you go about it. And so far, so good. Really.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, you think about that Dodgers series, coming back from deficits in all three games, winning two of three. You know, even the Blue Jays series, the first two games, they lose. They're not particularly in it. They come back out on Sunday, and they, you know, put together a nice game plan against a good pitcher, Chris Bassett.
Take care of business.
They win the series finale. They have a happy flight to Colorado, and that's what's going to be really key for this upcoming homestand. Look, it's not getting any easier.
Nope.
Philly's coming into town. You have Aaron Nola tonight. Ranger Suarez, who is undefeated, and in my opinion, might be the most underrated pitcher in baseball. This is a legit, solid number two, number three type who's pitched in the World Series and done well in the postseason, and people don't seem to appreciate him. This is going to be a challenging series, but this is where your money's made a little
bit.
Hey, you got to bounce back after a tough loss, a tough opponent, but it's your home park. You know it's going to be sold out at Petco Park this weekend. I'm going to be really curious to see how they perform against one of the best teams in the NL in a marquee series coming off a tough loss. That's going to be the true measure of this team's toughness.
Yeah, and it's funny, man. There's just these stepping stone after stepping stone for a baseball team, a baseball fan, baseball players throughout the season. All right, split, fine. How do you respond today? I'm interested to see how Jackson Merrill is doing. We're going to ask the skipper, Mike Schilt, in about 10 minutes. I'm going to ask him, you know, about the health of Jackson Merrill. He's played a ton, and you've already seen the trust grow in Jackson Merrill from week one when it was, oh, we got a lefty? Let's get Sugar out there. No, it's like Jackson's our center fielder. He's going to play. He's going to hit lefties. He's hit lefties well. He's big hits against the Dodgers. He's been really, really good. I love watching him play baseball, and I don't long for anything more from him. And I know the impatience of fans are like, man, it'd be nice if he could, count on him for a 3-run homer. No. Let him be him and mature.
Yeah, that's Fernando's job.
Some power will come for him. You don't swing that well with that good a bat to ball and not get some power in your career.
And the strength of his game is his contact. Let's be clear. The best version of Jackson Merrill long term is a guy who's hitting 300 with
12 homers. Oh, I was going to say if, like 12 to 15.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a 30 homer dude.
No.
This is a contact first, and it might be 280 with 15 homers and great defense. And that's more than fine.
Absolutely.
That's his game. You don't want him to start swinging for the fences and lose what made him good in the first place. We've seen that happen to way too many young hitters.
So many players.
Focus, you know, again, left on left, Alex Vesia taking an 0-2 fastball, boom, poking it the other way. And I saw him do the same thing
incredible
in Lake Elsinore against lefties when he was 18, 19, fresh out of the draft. And that's who he is. That's more than enough. That's a great AB. Let him be that. Don't try to force him into being what he's not. If he starts swinging for the fences, that's a bad thing. We don't want that from Jackson
Merrill. We do not want that from Jackson Merrill. Nice to see the Pods get, you know, hit a couple of bombs yesterday, certainly, but for the most part,
bizarre,
you know,
to go three games without
it was, yeah, especially in Coors Field. And now, you know, you need some reinforcements though on this team. We got about 5 minutes left in here. What would you like to see the Padres do soon? You know, I mean, because there's guys that can help this team right now. We talked about on the roundtable yesterday. We are essentially, I think, still a bat away, an arm away, a right-hander in the bullpen. Like another Eniel De Los Santos type would be nice. You got four lefties down in the bullpen right now, none of which are your closer. So how are you? What would you do if you were kind of in charge right now of making some moves?
I think the most important thing is they need to reinforce this pitching staff. When you look at over the course of 162, we don't know how Michael King is going to hold up over a full season.
Right.
He has never made more than 9 starts in a season. He had those 8 great starts to end the year last year. It's a big difference what you look like start 8 versus start 16 versus start 24. So that's a question mark. Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove both finished last year on the IL. They both have some injury histories. Again, Yu's on the IL right now. Hopefully nothing major, but you're counting on those guys staying healthy. And Matt Waldron's really, really good. I like him for what he is, which is a good number 4 or 5 starter. We know Dylan Cease is a stud, but we see every year having 5 quality starting pitchers is not enough
not
to
enough
get you through a major league season.
Never
and
is.
As much as Robbie Snelling is a good young pitcher in AA, Adam Mazur is a good young pitcher in AA, expecting these guys ready to come up in the middle of a pennant race and perform from day one, if it happens, great. I don't think you can expect that. So going out and getting another, it doesn't have to be an ace arm, but
right,
just, you know, someone, a solid number 4, number 5 type to give you some insurance, that would be key. And at the end of the day, as much as this offense has been overall performing well, if you're honest with yourself and stack this lineup up next to the Braves lineup, the Dodgers lineup,
it's not close.
It's not close. So in order to get to World Series contender status, honestly, you probably need 2 more bats
right
to kind of lengthen the bottom of this lineup. But number 1 would be lengthen the rotation. We've seen starting rotation issues sink this team before. I go back to 2021 when
awful,
you're pulling Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta off the scrap heap.
That was the worst.
That was unwatchable.
Yeah.
So, again, I think that's priority number 1.
Okay, yeah, and I agree fully, and I know, you know, there's been some chat about some guys that are throwing well in the minor leagues right now that could potentially help Estrada. Look nasty, man. He's a lot of strikeouts.
He's got stuff.
He's got stuff.
Palm Desert Kid.
Yeah, Palm Desert Kid. I'm interested to see, and I'm always interested to see what moves they make to help fortify this team going forward. But, yeah, it is hard to temper expectations as a fan. It is. I will be the first to tell you. I expect more from the team. I just do. And you look around and you see Xander, and hopefully Manny's back tonight. Xander, Manny, Tatis, Profar's played out of his mind this year. It's fun to see Cronenworth, Ha-Sung Kim. I mean, you feel like you're better than a 14-14 team, but that's what you are. That's what you are right now. You're a 14-14 team. We're going to ask the skipper about all of this coming up next.
We've hammered the point all month about Xander in the leadoff spot. I liked what I saw for the most part,
yeah,
at least this week.
In Colorado, sure.
I really hope if he's turning a corner, that could be huge.
That home run he hit against the Blue Jays in the Sunday finale, that
huge
was
for
a
him
good sign. You're starting to see him come around. Ha-Sung Kim's starting to come around.
Yep.
So we're starting to see it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's funny because Tatis is now, he's fine. I mean, it's Fernando Tatis Jr. I don't worry about him. But he's, you know, he missed some hangers in Colorado that I know he saw in his sleep. I know he saw some of these hangers that he missed or took. There was a 3-0 hanger yesterday. I'm like, buddy, no one's going to be mad at you for swinging 3-0, especially on that pitch. Just hammer it. He needs to get back to, you know, that aggressiveness that he had in the early part of the season. I know it's still the early part of the season, but he needs to be Fernando Tatis Jr. and just be the wild stallion that he is.
You know, I think with him, we saw him start to come back last year. We've seen flashes this year. I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him.
I'm not either. He's not a guy I worry about. All right, coming up next, going to be joined by
here
the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schell. I'm going to see if he rips me a new one.
I'm actually hoping for it.
Stay tuned. Yeah, we'll see how I respond yesterday. Yesterday? Today. See how I respond today. Unlike Dennis Lynn, our buddy, yesterday, the stare down was epic. Now we're on radio, so it's going to be much easier.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.